Welcome back. Welcome into the Lion's Share Walkthrough Wednesday edition ahead of championship weekend in the NFL. That's right. We're down 2-4, two games this weekend, and then it's the big one. It's the Super Bowl. An emphasis on welcome in as well, because we have seen a wave of new listeners. The Lions Instagram has gained over 50,000 since the win. So fans are just rushing to Lions content anywhere they can find it. So I'd like to pose the question to the other two gentlemen on this podcast. Are you guys okay with all this new following, these bandwagoners that are jumping on now late in the game?
I'm personally cool with it. Love to see the Lions pride grow ever stronger. Dan, I think, feels differently. You know, I think he feels like this one's for the true hardcores, the ones that have been waiting forever for it. But, you know, long-term wise, glad to see him here.
I would echo. I'd lean more towards what Dan said, though. Kind of like, where you been? If you weren't there before, we don't need you now. You know, but at the same time, it won't be like this next year. I feel like we really are America's team right now just because of the groundswell of support for Detroit. Everyone knows they're downtrodden, beaten as a city, as a franchise. So I'll take it temporarily, but start of the season, get the hell out of here.
And if you want to hear the direct quote from Dan, go back and listen to the end of last episode. Andrew nailed the quote. So if you didn't listen to that part of the episode, please go back and listen to it because Andrew nailed it. Mitch, you kind of hit my next point, which was America's team. Would you guys consider the Lions right now America's team?
Right now, without a doubt. I don't think there's any other question. I think you've got the Chiefs, who really are the new Patriots, and I think everyone's just kind of sick of them. Ravens are second. I think a close second. I think a lot of people want to see Lamar get the chip and, you know, kind of move on with his life and get that, you know, all the haters silenced. And then the 49ers, I don't think anyone wants to see the 49ers win, but except for the 49ers fans. They have been successful since Shanahan got there, really. So they're perpetually in the NFC Championship game. They'll be back next year. It's the Lions' time.
Yeah, the 49ers are in a weird spot. They're not the most hated team, certainly, of the four. The Lions are probably your favorite out of all of them, of course. And then the Chiefs are probably the one that they hate the most, right? The Chiefs have kind of taken on that Golden State Warriors feel in the NFL. Everybody's sick of Mahomes. They're sick of him being kind of a baby out there, right? And asking for the calls, LeBron-esque. So I think you're right. But the 49ers are kind of in that weird spot where it's like, they haven't been good enough. They haven't won a ring. So they haven't been good enough to get hated yet. So they've got a little bit of fandom still there. But do you guys see that Vivid Seats gave us this statistic? Vivid Seats is saying roughly 22% of fans are going to be Lions fans. Did you guys think that was high?
I think it's incredible. I think we talked about it. I think I said in the last episode, I was hoping for 15%. I thought 15% would be a great showing. 22% is unreal. If that's legit, taking over a quarter of a stadium in an NFC championship game, literally on the other side of the country, is just ridiculous.
I think it goes to show you why people are calling them America's team right now. I mean, and just look at the TV broadcast, especially of last game. I mean, that was shown across almost the entirety of the U.S. as the main broadcast.
Yeah, and 40 million it tapped out at. At one point reached 49.3 or 5, I can't remember. But that's an insane number of people for even the NFL standards. Did you see, either of you see that, obviously I just said the 22% of fans they're estimating for the Lions 49ers game. Do you guys see how many they had the Packers percentage at going into the week of last week? So they're saying that in these same, however they determine this, based on, I guess, people buying tickets, fans buying tickets, right, is where they land on 22% of them being Lions fans. Last week, and we know how strong the Packers faithful is, last week the Packers were at 3%. So, the Lions have just straight up raised the bar to levels that will probably never be seen again in the foreseeable future. Maybe if the Browns are that other team that have struggled, but they don't have, I just don't see them, if they ever make it this far, I don't know if they'd ever have the fandom that we've seen with the Lions. It's to take Mitch's word, it's palpable what we're seeing from these fans. And I think we'd be happy with about a quarter of the fans being Lions fans. We'll take that every day.
Speaking of the Browns, did you see our old boy Deuce Staley got hired by the Browns as the running back coach?
Really? Good job, Deuce.
Yep, so clap is great. Good for him. Who wants to work for the Panthers organization? Seriously, that has to be the least desirable coaching spot out of the entire coaching carousel. There is just no, why do you want to go work for Dave Tepper? The guy's just a weird, he makes Jim Irsay look like Mr. Calm, Cool, and Collected. I don't know. But yeah, shout out Deuce Staley. Good for him.
Yeah, certainly shout out Deuce. Do they have a glass door for NFL franchises? Because if they do, the Panthers have got to be the lowest rated. And the Lions might be the top.
By far. Well, according to the players.
Yeah. Yeah, DC or AG was your top defensive coordinator as voted by the players. So there you go. Yeah, it's weird. It's a weird feeling. It's a weird feeling going into championship weekend having the Lions involved. So I've had several Lions fans reach out and say we're unsure of how to handle ourselves going into a championship weekend. Unsure because we've entered uncharted territory, and that at this point, normally as a Lions fan, you can kind of just sit back and relax and just watch the good action that goes on between the NFL games. But now it's like, oh snap, there's my fandoms on the line here. Like the Lions are playing. The Lions are involved in the Final Four. And you know, it's a weird feeling. Do you guys feel like has it set in that the NFC Championship is going to include the Lions?
It absolutely has set in, and it feels good to be here. But at the same time, I was just looking at a tweet that you had sent me about Brad Holmes and Dan's last few drafts and how great they are. And I think these are legitimately going to go down in history when you look back on this 15, 20 years down the road on how good these drafts are. But it feels nice to be here in this situation because of those drafts and the continued like effort that you know Dan and Brad are going to put in, that you feel like we have a window to be in this situation a few more times down the road. So go out there and get it while you can. Like, don't ever fall short of your season goals. Don't get me wrong. But it feels like, you know, they're building also for the future, not so much the right now.
For sure. Andrew, you want to move that microphone just a little bit closer for us?
Thank you. You nailed it. It's like there's a lot going on in the future and the now are bright in Detroit. And they've done the rebuild the right way. I mean, you went from three, and it was fast. I think all of us kind of would, the three of us especially, would probably say a year ahead of schedule, really. But they went 3-9-12 to a deep postseason run on the third season with Dan Campbell. And, you know, he's a huge part of why Detroit and the Lions are so popular right now. It's hard not to like the guy. And I think the more media attention the Lions get, the better for free agents as well. I mean, you can't be an NFL free agent and see this guy on TV and not think, yeah, that's where I want to go play. So I think, you know, to add on to what Andrew said, the future's bright as well.
Well, not only like do they want to come because like of what they're hearing from him directly, and listen to all the players. I heard multiple people in locker room speeches say, well, yeah, Dan's just the best motivator I've ever heard. So it's not just coming directly from him and what he's saying, but from his players too.
And we mentioned it. I think it was you, Mitch, late last season or maybe into the offseason last year on this podcast. You were saying Detroit's a destination. I think it was about, you know, this time last year when we were starting to look ahead towards free agency. You're like, if you're a free agent, don't you want it? Like, isn't Detroit in your top three or maybe your top pick? And you nailed it because you kind of, you know, saw the future there with what it is. And that's kind of come to light. I mean, this has got to be the place to be right now. If you're a free agent coming up here in March, you got to have Detroit circled. And we kind of saw that, kind of a good segue here. We kind of saw that with Zach Ertz. I mean, the typical, you know, veteran move to, some would call it ring chasing, right? Kind of wait it out, see which teams are going to be there in the thick of it at the end of it. And what better time to join a team for a potential run for a ring than championship weekend. So what do you guys make of Zach Ertz coming to town as Brock Wright heads to IR?
I think it's a little late, but I'll take it. I was hoping they would do this as soon as Laporta got hurt, but you know, we talked about it and they needed the veteran presence. So I think it's a good addition. I would have loved it to happen a little earlier. Short week to get him involved, but it's also one of those things that you're just not used to in Detroit, where it's a very well-known free agent, and all of a sudden we're going to see him in the Honolulu Blue this weekend. It's going to be odd.
Yeah, I like that he's finally aboard, but it saddens me to know that Brock Wright is, you know, done for the year. We're not going to see him at all. If they advance to the Super Bowl, he's not going to have an opportunity to join the guys there. So he had a big play last week, so I feel bad for the guy.
Speaking of which, Lady Lion number two, much like yourself, Andrew, also mistook Brock Wright for an actual lineman last weekend when he caught that ball. She's like, wait, can he catch that ball? I'm like, oh boy, I can't wait to talk about this.
Oh man.
He looks like a big boy, and his speed doesn't help him at all.
No, I'm pretty sure Sewell is faster.
Oh, without a doubt. So what do you guys think? Do you think we'll see Zach Ertz strap up this weekend and be involved in any meaningful action?
I think so. I mean, obviously Laporta is going to get the bulk of the snaps. Even 1 week away from the injury, I think Laporta had like 70% of the tight end snaps or offensive snaps. But they'll definitely use him. He's a savvy vet. He can come in and he can block against schemes and run routes, and you know, he knows how to play against different coverages, especially if the 49ers are going to play zone. No one's going to be better than him at finding soft spots in zones. That's one of Laporta's strengths this year, is finding the soft spot in zone. So I think Ertz can just do nothing but compliment. I think he'll see some decent playing time.
I think you'll probably see him about as often as you've seen Firkser. I think he's in reality just however you say that last name. I think in reality he's literally just taking his place there. And I've seen him probably 7 to 10 snaps a game, if I had to guess. So I think that's about when you'll see Zach Ertz. The thing to look out for, because the Lions and Ben Johnson scheme up a lot of things, is to see a touchdown tossed to him from short yardage situations, because they always come up with something weird. Craig Reynolds with the score last week. You just never know who's going to get the ball.
Never know with the wrinkles. And then, I don't know if you guys caught the St. Brown podcast, but speaking of the Reynolds touchdown from Craig, he wasn't even supposed to be there. St. Brown said on the podcast they had the wrong personnel in there. He wasn't supposed to be in on that play. And, you know, that's just how it happened. That's how the cookie crumbled. And then Craig Reynolds, next thing you know, he's in the end zone. So it worked, but it was not intended. So hilarious moment there in the St. Brown podcast. Check it out if you haven't already. Let's touch on a few things that we missed since Sunday, which was we didn't talk about band players at all last episode. That's on me. So we did have them in the poll, though. So we had the S participants, which is you, shareholders. That's you. Your vote went handedly to Frank Ragnow. Did have a vote for Derek Barnes in there as well, but most of the majority sticking with Frank Ragnow, who, let's talk about Frank Ragnow. He sustained a sprained knee as well as a sprained ankle in the last one against the Bucks. Played through it, obviously, gritty as you could ever be, and says there's no doubt he's going to be a participant in the game on Sunday against the 49ers. So, incredible. The other news on injuries we had was Alex Anzalone has been playing with broken ribs or fractured ribs since week 18 against the Vikings. That's when he had that injury. So he's been playing through that since week 18 all through the playoffs. Sent this to you guys. You guys were pretty shocked, right? But you guys had been texting in the group chat about some of the play of old Anza the last couple weeks. And I feel like you guys were kind of foreshadowing that something was going on behind the scenes, because he just felt a little different, didn't he?
Yeah, I was talking about it with a longtime Lion today as well, too. You know, he's that kind of guy with, you know, guys, people were upset with him because, you know, guys are heading out of bounds and he's giving them an extra shot, some would say, but he's just making sure they're getting out of bounds. They're still in play when he hits them usually. but he wasn't really like torpedoing himself lately. And he wasn't finishing a lot of plays. He's catching his breath a lot of the time on the ground after plays. Seemed like he was late to get back to defensive huddles. We thought it was more of a shoulder leg injury, did we? Was it the shoulder where he ended up getting the brace on it?
Yes, that's correct. Yep.
So I would assume they're doing that for just more padding for him.
Yeah, yeah. And maybe he's trying to catch his breath because it's hard to breathe with broken ribs. Try to breathe around it.
It's good for him. I feel a little bad about some of the things I've said. Again, maybe if Mr. Campbell, you know, old Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, if we could just, you know, get the consistency out of Campbell.
Yeah.
Maybe Anzalone's not in there and, you know, you rotate with Anzalone and Campbell and Barnes, which, by the way, I think we didn't do justice to Barnes having an absolute redemption and getting that game sealing pick after he whiffed on Dak Prescott. Good for him. And we didn't really touch on it, but just in, like, as far as mental headspace, like, full 180 for that guy.
No doubt. And Sunday's episode was just a whirlwind, point. So we apologize for that, because that was, it's really hard to be do a podcast after the Lions win a game where now they're going to be NFC championship bound. So it's tough out here for a podcaster, but you're right. Got to give credit where credit is due for Derek Barnes after some shaky performances in the Cowboys game with an all-time redemption against the Bucks. All right. Let's talk a little bit about this matchup this week. Lions taking on the 49ers. This one will be at 6:30 p.m. Eastern on Fox. That means Kevin Burkhart and Greg Olsen will be the crew for this one as far as the commentators go. A couple notes about this game. The 49ers haven't lost a home game in Levi since October. Asterisk next to that. Yes, they actually did lose week 18 at home, but that one doesn't count. They're sitting everybody and their brother in that one against the Rams. So I'm not counting that one. I'm going to say they haven't lost at Levi since October. The Lions will be in their white tops. They have not released the bottoms yet. A lot of people speculating that it's going to be the all whites, but we will see. We don't know for sure whether that's what it will be. 49ers, we do know, will be in their classic uniforms. Gold helmet, red jersey, gold pants. No white pants this week, Mitch. You're welcome.
I couldn't care less about what they were this week, but it at least won't be so horrible to watch.
And the officials, the head referee will be Cleet Blakeman. He is none other than the referee that reffed against the Lions when his name shall not be mentioned, but had a Hail Mary in Ford Field courtesy of a face mask that wasn't a face mask. He was also involved in the Trey Flowers hands to the face game in Green Bay that wasn't a hands to the face back-to-back times, and he's done other controversial Lions games. So people online very upset that he will be the head referee here. But last game we had Cleet as the head referee was this year against the Raiders on Monday Night Football when the Lions took on the Raiders, and that one was relatively okay. So feeling pretty decent about Cleet in this one. Injury-wise, we don't have a lot because the Lions did not do practice today. They had a walkthrough, so we don't have game designations yet. The big one, Jonah Jackson had surgery on his meniscus this week. I'm going to say there's no way he plays this week. They haven't officially ruled him out, but it really doesn't seem like he's going to play this week. Although they did say he could be back in time if they play in the Super Bowl. Frank Ragnow has been upgraded for a back, knee, toe, ankle. He's got four of them now, and he just feels stiff, is what he's saying. He feels okay. He feels better than he thought he would. And, of course, Sam Laporta is still kind of dealing with that knee, as well as Khalif Raymond definitely still dealing with the knee. And James Houston still dealing with the ankle. No telling whether we'll see James Houston. The big one on the other side, 49ers, relatively healthy. The big thing for the 49ers, though, is Deebo Samuel. He's dealing with that shoulder. Did not practice today. He says it feels better, but they're not giving him any indication on whether or not he's going to play in this one. So, for the Lions, to fill in for Jonah Jackson, we've got Awashika and maybe some Sorsdahl as well filling in there.
Ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. We're going to give him a nickname. He's got a tough last name, let's be honest. Let's be real here with the brothers. You know, we're just gonna give him a nickname, Sheikah. I think we'll just call him Sheikah. So he's gonna fill in for Jonah, and maybe some Colby as well. Maybe some Colby Jack as well. So turning to the 49ers side of the ball, I wanted to ask you guys this: what's your feeling towards Deebo Samuel? I feel like he's gonna play. What do you guys feel like, and how much of a difference do you think it makes if Deebo Samuel plays in this game?
I don't think it should make a huge difference for him. Like, Deebo Samuel, freak athlete, don't get me wrong. But the whole thing about the 49ers all season long is they have so many weapons that even if you shut one of them down, you can't stop them all. They got George Kittle, they got Ayuk, they have Samuel, they've got McCaffrey. I mean, it's so, at what point do you have to then say, you know, we're missing some of our top guys. Do we put an asterisk on all these games?
I think it's going to make a big difference. I think they do have so many weapons that it's hard to, you know, you really can't stop them all. But I'll take one less. I think they're more prepared for it now than they were in the beginning of the season when Deebo went down. And that's when the 49ers really went on their skid. I don't want him to play. I don't want him to play. I think we all know what the weakness of the Lions is, and not just on defense, but their entire team. So the less speed on the edge and pass catching capability, the better for the Lions.
No doubt. I agree. I think it's a huge deal. I think he's probably going to play. It's probably going to be a late in the week decision. I think he got enough rest in the week here. I think he's going to be okay, but it is going to be a huge difference because of that secondary is just going to get torched, no doubt.
I think if he plays, CD Deuce is going to have the target on him.
Yeah.
See, you watch it, watch him play, and CD Deuce is going to be going for that big hit. I can't, and you know, Deebo knows that. I can't imagine he's going to be a big fan of running across the middle of the field if he plays.
Yep. You stole my next point, which was, I think it was October, shortly after CJ got hurt. He was doing a classic Instagram live, and somehow the topic of Deebo Samuel came up, and there was a lot of beef. Shocker that CJ is involved with beef, but I think you're right, Mitch. I would really look forward to that matchup between him and Deebo, because somebody's got to win that matchup. And I don't hate the shit talk. And I think it's been long enough now that it's not so piping hot. But no doubt Deebo Samuel remembers, and no doubt CJ remembers. They won't forget that. So it's just spoke about Deebo and the threat that he poses to the secondary. So regardless, he plays, he doesn't play. The Lions have not held a passer under 300 yards since Mr. Unlimited came to town from the Broncos there in week 15. So it's been a while, several weeks, over a couple months here. So what do you guys think? You guys think Purdy, do you think they can hold Purdy under 300 yards passing in this one?
It depends on if Deebo takes the field then, I suppose.
Oh, hold on. I thought you said it wasn't going to be a big deal.
Hey, man, they got weapons all over the place. They may run it some more if Deebo's not on the field.
Okay? And Justin Herbert is not Josh Allen.
I don't think they're going to hold him under that 300. I think they're going to do pretty much what they've done all season. They go with that bend, don't break mentality. The scary part for me is, we'll get to it at one point, it's one of my pose, but George Kittle is a big boom or bust tight end. Look at his catches to yards. It's ridiculous. Compare him to Sam Laporta. I think he's got more yards than Laporta, and Laporta trumps him in catches. So he's got all these boom plays. If they can limit him on his boom plays, then they're going to be just fine. Stick to what they've been doing on the run. But I don't think that they stay under that 300.
Yeah, I'm going to go the other way. I think they can get it done. And I think the big key, or one of the big keys for me for this entire game, is the Lions get beat by big arms. Big arms. Since you said that, Mr. Unlimited, and I know this is going to sound weird and people can get their laughs in, and I understand it's still pathetic, right? But Nick Mullins, or I'm sorry, right? Nick Mullins?
Correct.
Is that who it was? Yeah.
Went off for 400.
Has a big arm. Like, so you let it up for him, But they also got all the turnovers. You had Dak. Like, obviously, Dak is top-tier talent. So, you know, it is what it is. They did it again against Nick Mullins, who, again, had two touchdowns but two interceptions. And then you had Stafford and Baker. Those are all big arms. That is the reason I think that they can win this weekend. Purdy, I don't think, is a game manager. I think his accuracy, I liken more to like a Drew Brees type. Doesn't have the Drew Brees talent or arm talent, but he will dice you up if you give him enough time and you get those shallow crossers. I think they can hold him below 300. I think they have to, and I think it's because he's not going to take as many shots downfield.
I'm going to sit kind of in the middle between you guys. I'm going to say he just breaks 300, but they keep him under 350. Yeah, a little peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
This was your question. You can't do that.
Oh. But I can.
Hey, pick A or B. Just kidding. I'm going to go endorse C. Unreal. Coward.
That's the luxury I have here behind the microphone. Andrew, you're up first this week with the pose, the points of emphasis. What do you got this week against the 49ers?
Just listen to some extra words from Dan, okay? He's not happy that there's so many media covering him right now, saying, where have you been this entire time? And he's talking about his players having to deal with the extra bull crap, right? So, sorry. But we'll get to the pose. We'll call him Sheik. That's going to be the biggest thing for me on offense. Sheik needs to step up and have himself an absolute day. In terms of the defensive side of the ball for the 49ers, all eyes are going to be on Sheik, and they're going to try and put their best D tackle over him. He didn't do too so hot in pass protection last week, which is a real shame because that's where Sorsdale struggles. So I'd like to see them kind of switch on and off, but they both excel in run blocking and not pass blocking. So we'll see what happens, but he needs to have himself a day. The defensive side of the ball, like I said, we got to limit Kittle to these huge boom plays. And if you can do that to the entire 49ers offense, you're in for a day. And speaking of one other guy that needs to have himself a day, on the defensive side of the ball, it's who everybody's going to be looking at again. Mr. Cam Sutton. Don't get left on an island, buddy, but everybody's going to be looking at you. Good luck.
It's a little concerning because I don't think he matches up well with anyone on the 49ers offense, to be honest. You got to run the damn ball. Don't let Bosa and Young get hot. That's what they're good at. You know, you see Young get exposed a couple times more so in the run game. I think Young, why he wasn't such a hot ticket item is because he's a pass rusher. So I think run behind those big bodies. Let Sewell cook on offense. Just run. I beg of you, Ben Johnson, don't just abandon the run if it doesn't work right away. Stick with it. You have the bodies to do with this. These guys want to run the ball. On defense, it's really worthless to talk about the secondary at this point. So I'm just going to say contain CMC. I don't think we've – Kyron Williams is a really good running back, but we don't see or haven't really seen a lot of top-tier running back. Christian McCaffrey is the running back. But I'll give you guys a little nugget here. Lions rush yards per game allowed in the regular season, 88.8. So far in the playoffs, and this is through two games, 78.5. So you're seeing that rush defense tighten up a little bit more. 49ers right behind them in the regular season, 89.7 yards per game. Granted, this is only one playoff game, but 136 yards to Aaron Jones and the boys. Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery together are much better than Aaron Jones. Run the ball.
Thank you for everything that you just said. Love the statistics. Love everything about what you said. I agree wholeheartedly. I think if Montgomery and Gibbs can combine for 150, that's a secret to success. For my post, similar to yours, got to contain Bosa. I think they'll be able to manage Chase Young. I'm not as concerned about him as I am Bosa. I think you just got to do what you kind of did against Max Crosby and just not let him be, just don't let him destroy you, right? Just try to contain him. On offense, the 49ers have a lot of ways to beat you Andrew went through all of them, of course. So for me, it's just that your defense, you got to tread water. And I will celebrate every field goal attempt that Jake Moody comes out to, because that's a win in my book this week. As much as they can keep him out of the end zone as possible. That's what I'm looking for. And rely on the offense to get you the points, and don't rely on the defense. Offense has got to be themselves and be rhythmic. If they get off their rhythm, we've seen how they struggle. Goff's got to be cool, calm, collective. And Ben Johnson's got to be the sharpest he's ever been on the play calling. And I think they'll be sitting all right in this one. Yeah, offense has just got to be themselves. Just be who you can be. Be who we know you can be, I should say. Let's move on to our predictions, our much anticipated NFC championship predictions. Here's your lines. 49ers currently favored by 7 still at this point in time, and the over under sits at 51 per DraftKings. Weather. This is an outdoor game. Lions haven't had an outdoor game in a while, so weather could be a factor. No, doesn't really look like it. 71 degrees and partly cloudy with light winds. Looks like it's going to be a beauty of a day down there in Santa Clara, California. First up for predictions is myself. Now, I had the 49ers in the Super Bowl in my preseason picks. So am I going to take the 49ers here? No, absolutely not. I'm taking the blue folks. That is the Detroit Lions. I've got a win here for the Lions in a squeaker. And I mean squeaker. 34-33 for the Lions. They get a late score to get the win here.
You know, I go hot or cold on these score predictions. So we're going to come in. Defense is showing up this week, boys. That means points are going on the board for all the listeners out there. I got the Lions at 17. 49ers coming in at a measly 12 points. Like I said, I think the defenses are going to show up. I think they're going to do a lot of bending. But I think they're going to have 2 red zone turnovers. Let's keep that one locked up there.
Sorry to insert myself here, Mitch, but one shareholder is laughing right now, and he so appreciates your score predictions every week. So give a quick shout out to that shareholder. Sorry, Mitch.
I saw Andrew's score prediction, and I started laughing because I just think it's hilarious. And then even more so when you misspeak and say, I think the defenses are going to show up and we're going to see some points this weekend. That was probably my favorite part of this episode so far. I've got Lions 24, 49ers 20. It's going to be a close game. There's no doubt about it. I think if the Lions just stick to the program, and can run the ball, even if they can't, and they're probably going to put up 21 of the 24 in the first half. That's their MO. I think it's going to come down to a game-winning drive for Purdy, and because he doesn't have that deep threat arm, they're not going to be able to get it done. They're going to have to close a 4-point gap, and they won't be able to do it.
All right, so all of us sticking on the Lions there. This one, as I mentioned, this one will be on Fox, on your local Fox station at 6:30. If you're not going to Santa Clara for this one, if you're not one of that 22% of the crowd, Ford Field is hosting a watch party. But here's the thing. That sold out in 2 to 3 hours time. And so you'll have to get resale tickets at this point, which people are price gouging on per usual. But that would be a fun environment, honestly, to go to Ford Field and watch this as a watch party. I think that would be cool. I'm very much a watch at home kind of person, but I think in this instance, this could be cool. Could you guys believe? I mean, I think at this point, nothing shocks me about Lions fandom, but could you believe that this sold out as quickly as it did?
Yeah, that's outrageous. I would love to do that as well. I think we talked about it with like local theaters, if they could show it, but I know the NFL shut down one of them. You know, if they could show that and just charge concessions, that'd be awesome. But I think there needs to be watch parties everywhere. But the Ford Field one, wow.
Nobody does it like the Lions. All right, let's move to the NFL news that we have real quick before we talk about the other side of the ball, which is the AFC Championship between the Ravens and the Chiefs. We had news breaking right before we hopped on the airwaves here, and that is not super shocking news, but Jim Harbaugh is going to be the next coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. Got a quick statement here from the college football expert who has appeared on the show several times. And he telegraphed this one perfectly, calling this one a couple weeks ago. He says, quote, I'm fine with it. give Sherrone the keys, end quote. So he's perfectly okay with it. He thinks that Sherrone could have the job by sunrise tomorrow morning. Any thoughts from you guys as far as Jim Harbaugh going to the Chargers here? I mean, it was kind of expected.
Yeah, I think this is just like what took so long, really. Even before the national championship game, this was a thing. And as soon as they won, the groundswell started. I mean, he did have two rounds of interviews with the Falcons, so kind of interesting. Maybe a little bit of a dog and pony show. But yeah, seems like a good fit. And, you know, good for the Harbaugh brothers. They're both coaching in the NFL, and they play each other next year. So it'll be fun.
True.
Yeah, the only thing I really have to say is championships make everything hurt a lot less. So thank you, Jim. You know, thank you for your service. We appreciate everything you've done for the University of Michigan there, bringing home that national championship. But such is life. And then, you know, just to touch on the Atlanta round two of interview thing, who have they not given a second interview to? Just question.
That's true. I mean, Belichick did. Did Aaron Glenn get two interviews there? Okay.
I'm not sure. Speaking of which, though, Andrew, did you see your boy Artie Smith is a offensive coordinator target for 9 teams across the NFL?
What?
Artie Smith, son of FedEx.
The guy doesn't even use his weapons. Do they want him as their OC?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. NFL. Get this guy out of the NFL.
It'd be a real, real shame if Ben Johnson got the nod as OC as a head coach somewhere else. And Dan said, you know what? I like that big old son of a bitch from Atlanta. Let's bring him in here.
No way.
It'd be a real shame.
No way.
I can guarantee you he like looks at a picture of Arthur Smith and goes, that man is soft. He knows it.
Pillsbury. I think if you're DC, you like a part of your shtick is you're the biggest coach on your coaching staff. Can't have Art coming in. That's a big dude.
No, it doesn't fit the culture at all. He can't do up downs. Are you kidding me? Brian Callahan. Sorry, Andrew. I thought you were reaching for the mute there. I thought you were going to say something. Brian Callahan was hired as the Titans head coach. He's the former Bengals OC, so that's the other spot that was filled. And then I saw today, I don't have this in the notes, but Vic Fangio is out as defensive coordinator for the Dolphins. So he could have a potential landing
going
spot.
Going to the Eagles.
Going to the Eagles, you think? Or is that already confirmed?
It's not like official, but it's basically official. So if you guys remember, they brought him in as a specialist last year, like I said, a consultant before the Super Bowl. I think that's probably as done of a deal as you're going to get.
See you later, Matty P there in Philly. Yeah, that's... That was a short-lived experience there for him. Last thing in the
end. It was a short-lived dick.
Yeah, true. True. Last thing here in the NFL before the AFC Championship, and that is Jair Alexander is posting goodbye stories, it looks like, for the Packers. Looks like they're going to be parting ways. So wanted to ask you guys, would you accept Jair in a Lions uniform next year? Obviously, they'll be looking for cornerbacks, I'm sure.
I don't think that seems like a big, it doesn't seem like a big Brad Holmes move. Listen, I'm not going to pretend to know what these guys want. It doesn't seem like a culture fit for DC, but I would say the same thing about CD Deuce. And they brought CD Deuce on, but I don't like it. He's one of those guys. He's like Jim Harbaugh. You hate Jim Harbaugh unless he's coaching your team. You hate Jair Alexander unless he's on your team. I think Brad's gonna look to they have cap space. They'll have $58 million, I think, in cap space going into next year. So they have some room to do something. You know, that's barring Goff's extension that's inevitably coming, but not Jair. Please not Jair.
Yeah, I think you're right. You nailed it with the CJ stuff. I don't think you can have two of them in the locker room.
Can't have two loudies.
You can have one, but two is just going to make an incredible rift, especially with them both being on defense.
There can only be one loudest voice in the room.
Don't tell them that. because they're going to be the one.
That feels like two guys that would get in the locker room and literally just keep screaming at each other.
It might be a good thing. I would entertain an opportunity for him to join the team. I don't know if I'm ready for him in Honolulu Blue, but I would entertain the option. I would entertain it. All right.
I would prefer, if I had it my way, I haven't looked into this yet. I would prefer they go get like a stud in the NFL draft, because you see these cornerbacks coming in and it's not like it used to be where, you know, you got to wait 3-4 years. These guys are coming in and making a difference right away. So I've talked about the veteran presence a lot, but you're going to have to re-sign some of these guys who are pieces, like cornerstone pieces of your team. I think you got to keep building the draft, and in Brad we trust. And I don't know if I've said this, but not Jair, please.
All right.
That is the statement you have to stick by. In Brad we trust.
All right. Team no Jair here. Championship weekend here in the AFC side of things. Got I've introduced a point system here into the Google Docs. So last week I got 4 points. Mitch had 3 and Andrew had 2.
You know what? Me and the listeners are so sick of your bullshit. We're just
why
over
don't
it.
You, why did
take
you not
your
pick
point
the Chiefs,
system
bud?
And shove it. Go away.
Should have took the
hey,
Chiefs.
Go away.
Should have took
go
the
away.
Chiefs. Should have took the Chiefs.
We didn't even know this was a thing. We didn't know this was a thing.
Well, here's the bonus for you.
We're halfway through a card game, and you just declared that sevens are wild.
Here's the thing, though. Points go up every round now, so this week's going to be a big week. These points are worth 2. So you can jump me this week because I, you know, foreshadowing. It looks like you might have a different
one. I don't
want to
jump you. I don't want to play. Neither does Andrew.
Oh no, I've been outnumbered. Tommy, help me out here. We need a 2-2 majority.
He is so disinterested in your stupid game that he's not paying attention whatsoever.
What else is new? He's always looking at his phone. Probably watching TikToks.
I would too if I had to hear you talk so much.
Gotta look at all the tweets you sent me, bud.
Buddy, the ratio is pretty even. All right. So Mitch, you still have the Chiefs alive. That's your Super Bowl pick. So you can actually get a ton more points there with your bonus points. You could actually run circles around us. So I don't know what you're complaining about.
I don't want your points.
Mitch, you didn't know about the super bonus points you could have gotten?
Yeah, I did not know I was in the double prime bonus zone.
You basically already win. If the Chiefs win this weekend, you've already won. We can't even surpass you at that point.
I don't have the Chiefs. I picked the Ravens. Spoiler alert.
But you get the bonus points for having the Chiefs preseason, I'm saying. For having the Chiefs win the Super Bowl, you have that bonus if they get there. It's the feeling 2020, it's the feeling 22 bonus. All right. Let's talk about the Ravens and the Chiefs. This one's going down in Baltimore, of course. Baltimore with the home field advantage. M&T Bank Stadium there. 3 p.m. on CBS. This will be Tony Romo and Jim Nance. Ravens currently sitting at 3.5 points favorites in this one. Mitch, correct me if I'm wrong. And the over-under sitting at 46.5. This will be the... Oh, you got an update?
44.5. Ooh. 3.5 is still the spread. 44.5.
Okay, the weather.
I do like the Chiefs to cover that. I'm not going to give anybody any pointers. We've done this, but the 3.5, they got that little hook. I can see the Chiefs keeping this one close for sure.
I hate Vegas so much. They've got mind games playing right here. So this will be the 6th straight AFC championship for the Chiefs. That's just an insane stat to spout out there. 44.5 points, the over under there. That may be because of the weather here. We're going to have 48 degrees there in Baltimore at time of kick. And looks like we're going to be dealing with some rain in this one. As well as a little bit of wind, 13-mile-an-hour winds, and an 80% chance of rain. Certainly going to be raining in the morning, and by game time, that rain may be fizzling out, but it looks like that could be an impact in this one. Talking about a quarter inch of rain there up in Baltimore. All right, that's enough of me spouting off BS. I'm just going to give you my pick. I think the Chiefs are going to win it here. I think they're figuring things out at the right time here. Different team the last couple weeks. They look like the Chiefs of old. And the Ravens are going to be a formidable foe, no doubt. But I'll take the Chiefs over the Ravens here. But I might put a gate on this one if the Ravens wear all black.
Didn't know that was an option there. I'm going to go with the Ravens. I think this team is just too good. This team has made good teams look silly. They've slaughtered what? Two of the four teams left? Two of the three teams left? So it's just kind of tough to look at this team and not say that they're going to beat a struggling Kansas City team. And I think Kansas City has some ugly injuries to their defensive backfield as well. I don't know if they're coming back. I think they lost a couple guys in the Bills game. So if that's not coming back and the Ravens have been playing like they are, I'm taking the Ravens all day.
I'm with Andrew. I just, for no other reason than what I said earlier, the Chiefs are the new Patriots, and I'm sick of it. I'm over it. I know the Ravens won a Super Bowl with Flacco not long ago, but I'd rather see the Ravens, and it's hard to beat teams twice in the NFL, even though the Lions have done it, so it's not a big deal. But Ravens, Lions, Super Bowl. Can the Ravens beat the Lions twice? I don't think so.
Well,
I like the Ravens.
They also beat the Chiefs once, so they played both of those teams already. Lost 1-1-1. So, I don't know.
Why do you want the Lions to lose the Super Bowl? I don't understand.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying if the Chiefs win and they're in the Super Bowl against the Lions, Taylor Swift's not going to be able to in attendance because of her tour. So, all the magic that they've gotten the last couple of weeks is going to be gone. They're not going to know what to do. Taylor or Travis will have his worst game ever, and Lions Super Bowl champs. Andrew, I think.
Listen, by the way, also with when we recorded, Jason Kelce is maybe one of the cooler people of all time. I know we talked about it a little bit, but that dude was having the time of his life, and good for him. And not to mention, you see all these guys that are just like, oh, you know, like my lower body's so strong, I can jump out of a swimming pool. That's a big grizzly bear of a man, probably 25 beers deep, just jumping in and out of the private box. Good for him, man.
Taking pictures with fans, man of the people. It was awesome to see. I don't know if you guys caught the New Heights podcast where they talked about that today. It dropped today, this morning. And his wife, what is her name? Kylie, I think. Kylie Kelce? I could be wrong there. Sorry if I'm wrong. But she was like, you got to chill. You got to chill. You can't be blackout meeting Taylor Swift. You can't be blackout. The TV's going to be all over you. Like, and they're going to make a big deal about it. And he's like, babe, I was blackout drunk the first date we met. Like, our first date, I was blackout drunk. It's part of the charm, baby. He's like, that's the Kelce charm. We set the bar low. At the first impressions, we set the bar low. And then we can only go higher from there. And that's a... that's a sneaky little lesson about life, I think. Keep those expectations low, and you can only go higher.
Let's be honest. Him getting back into that booth as well, that was some impressive feat on its own.
Yeah, I mean, dude is just moving around like he's 25 years old, and he's 6'3", 250. Like, I mean, he gets around like you would not believe. It was incredible to see. Who knows what we'll get out of him in Baltimore this weekend when the Ravens and the Chiefs meet up. So looking forward to that. Andrew, I think who you were speaking of, L'Jarius Sneed there for the Chiefs, one of their top cornerbacks, has a calf injury. I think that's what you were alluding to. Limited practice this week. Looks like he should be good to go. The other one, Trent McDuffie, had an ankle, the other cornerback, the opposite of him, but he was a full practice today. So I think they're sitting okay, at least in the backfield that is the defense. They've got a couple other guys who are banged up on the defensive and offensive line. But I think they'll be all right. I think they'll be all right. Boy, that's it. This is weird. Down to only two games in the NFL. We're used to breaking down like 16 of them. Here we are almost at the end of the journey here. We'll have a bye week next week and then the Super Bowl. So let's close it out strong here, boys. Andrew, you want to speak a little bit about the 3-foot sandwich that we saw at the game last week in Ford Field that went, viral on the social media waves?
Yeah, the shareholders, if you haven't seen it, go out and find the story. There's a longtime Lion fan out there. He's been going to the games for about, I think he's a 15-year season ticket holder. He's been making this sandwich for 10 years. He said he's had some different options. Used to go to the East Market. Now he goes to the second level concourse, Grobel's. He buys, what was it, Ben? 10 sandwiches and stacks them on top of each other. $68 in total. This guy didn't share one bite with his friends the entire game and started the game off with 2 hot dogs. We got to find this guy. That might be our second caller.
Ooh. Now you're talking. Yeah, we need to find this guy. Mr. Robinson. Is that his name? I think Jack, Joe, something, Chad. I don't know. Something Robinson. Absolute legend in the Detroit Lions lore. I don't know if you guys were watching during the Zoom. Well, the last, I think it was the Bills-Chiefs game. No, could be wrong there. Could be the Saturday games. But there's a Zoom commercial, a new Zoom commercial. Does this ring any bells? It's got the announcer that does all the go, the extended goal calls. Well, they've got him saying Zoom, and it's throughout the entire 30 seconds of the commercial. And it might be the worst commercial that I've ever seen. I can't believe that somebody gave this a green light. And if they keep putting that on NFL playoff action, I don't know. I might have to write a strongly worded letter. I went on Twitter right after this happened, and everybody was flaming the Zoom account. It's awful. It's awful. And so if you see that come up on your TVs this weekend, just know to immediately hit the mute button, please.
You know what you got to look out for? Zoom has already invested money into a Super Bowl ad spot. This is the pre-ad. I guarantee they've got an extended version of that commercial. Just be on the lookout, the full minute version.
And maybe I should give them credit because it's garnering attention and it's generating like the old adage of there's no such thing as bad publicity. So maybe it falls into that category. But my goodness, that is a bold strategy if that's what their strategy was. And if they've got an extended one for the Super Bowl, oh boy, someone actually might put a bomb in the Zoom headquarters, which I think they don't actually have a.
Okay.
I don't think they actually have a Zoom headquarters because
it blew up.
Well, nice. No, because they're all virtual. So I think it's like Coinbase. Coinbase does the same thing. They just don't even have an office. Goddamn Gen Z. All right, that's enough talk about that. We got to get ourselves out of here.
I kind of dozed off for a second there, honestly.
Was it the Zoom? Does that make you sleepy?
It was Andrew's sultry tones.
God, he's got the dulcet tones. We'll be back. We'll be back on Sunday. Mitch, I know you struggle with the late recording, so the Lions game being the later game this Sunday, is that going to be okay with you?
Probably. I mean, we can make exceptions for the NFC Championship. Let's be honest. It's probably going to depend on the game. I think maybe it's just me. If the game goes poorly, I'm going to be sad and I'm not going to want to talk about it right away. But if it's like last week and it's like we're hyped up, we're ready to go, then I'll be like, yeah, let's talk about it. So it probably depends for me.
Andrew, any thoughts?
I'm going to be a sad, sad boy if they. I don't know if anybody's going to want to hear that.
So you want to delay it by a day? Is that what you're saying? Is that what the
shareholders give me 24 want? Hours to process and grieve, man. I don't know.
I want to put a poll in this episode, but I don't want to bring any bad juju. Like, I don't want to be talking about right now. You know what I mean? So maybe we just don't do it. We'll just TBD. We'll leave the next episode TBD.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Yeah. Stay tuned. Shareholders, there's been a lot of you. We've got a ton of followers.
Make sure you're subscribed.
Yeah, subscribe. Subscribe and like and rate us 5 stars because that's muy importante. We've seen a lot of you, a wave of new people come in this week, and we appreciate each and every one of you, as well as you longtime shareholders. We appreciate you just a bit more because you've been getting those dividends a lot longer than these new folks. We've got the Pistons playing on Saturday, so that's a big key for a Lions victory. The Pistons play the 7-win Wizards on Saturday. That's not a recipe for a loss. But we're hoping for a loss. We hate to say that. We're hoping for a loss for the Pistons because that's the way the cadence has been. Pistons lose Saturday. Lions win Sunday. That's what we're hoping for.
We don't hate to root for a Pistons loss. We talked about this. We basically said we'd trade the Pistons franchise for the Lions to succeed.
True. True. Click follow. Rate 5 stars. Oh, my God. He's coming back in. Sorry. Sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just saying, I would throw that pit into a volcano for the Lions to win a Super Bowl.
Or put it in the Zoom headquarters office before, you know.
Yeah, Tommy might have to cut that, actually, before things get spread.
A little aggressive. It was a little aggressive.
I didn't say... Yeah, never mind. Nope, just going to stop talking. What can and what I say can and will be used against me. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's... On the phone, you got off.
Bask in the glory, shareholders. Football is almost done. Let's go, Lions.
Meow, 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 meow.
I saw the California Dolphins, and I thought at first I forgot I did that, and then I was like, "Oh, he's bringing an AI something again," and then I read it again, and I was like, "Oh, I see. What is this stuff highlighted in red? And why did you highlight anything in red ever? People who highlight shit in red should be."